This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Waters. Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words are love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today and for our lives through our Almighty God.
As we hear in the United States look forward to Thanksgiving, Dr. Wyatt would have us appreciate fully what the Apostle Paul has to say, and Dr. Wyatt will disclose that he is king, and so much more.
Thank you, Dennis. I believe this is a special concept. Sharon's reading is from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and how unique and special is what our Lord and Savior means to us, our congregation, and more, our nations, our civilization, our very world, and yes, our very existence.
May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. Sharon has read for us a few verses that contain some of the most moving passages in the Bible. Here is Paul at his most eloquent and powerful, and it reads almost like a hymn. In fact, many believe that this was indeed an early Christian hymn. But more likely, this is Paul at a moment of exalted inspiration, soaring with a profound portrayal of the nature and place of Jesus. And also here is what Jesus meant to the early church. There has been, in the last 100 years or so, the effort to push such an obvious, heightened theology of Christ off to a later century, thus ignoring the many personal references found in this letter to the Colossians, the style, content, and the similarities here to Paul's other epistles. Again, as is usually the case, such skepticism is based not on the text, its history, but the reluctance to accept the content of this epistle, especially this passage, which is so overwhelming. Here Paul is piling on superlatives in this magnificent picture of Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. Indeed, all things were created by him and for him, all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and all things are held together by him. The beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection, the head, the source for the church. He is the preeminent one, reconciling all things, and in him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. Of course, such a wondrous and strong theological presentation of Jesus Christ so early, no more than 25 years after Paul's conversion, is not what some detractors of our faith want. They want instead a slowly evolving sense of Jesus, not this revelation of a risen Jesus Christ. But this is exactly the distinction of our faith, and the first line of defense against all heresy. And that is Paul's intent here, dealing with what appears to be the beginnings of a form of what was called Gnosticism, thinking that in denying God as creator, viewing all of the natural world as evil and corrupt, thus Jesus, if he was divine, would not have been fully human, but only appear to be so. Paul will attack such errors, an inadequate or twisted understanding of who Jesus is and thus who God is. Theirs is an effort to rework the revelation that is Jesus Christ, avoiding, ignoring the faith delivered to the saints, finding any other possible explanation of his actual death, and then, of course, for his resurrection. What Paul has provided us here is the start in what has to be the effort in human language to somehow describe who Jesus was and is, and thus what is the foundation, the cornerstone, and the very focus of our faith. It is in him, Jesus Christ. He is the distinctiveness, the difference that is our faith. This, our faith, is unlike any other, and there is a reason. It is the death and resurrection of this one man who is revealed to us here by Paul. Simply, there is no Christianity without Jesus. The truth, power, and depth of our faith depends on the validity of these claims. All the critical efforts to remake, rethink, and thereby lessen the truth of Christianity is exactly what Paul was facing back then. The attempt to twist and devalue the revelation of Jesus Christ and what our faith has always claimed for itself from the beginning. And in many ways, our defense against all such efforts begin here with Paul's words to the Colossians. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things were created, and he is before all things, and it is all held together in him. Paul's challenge was to confront the mythical constructs of some imagined structure of the universe, blended together with certain Greek philosophical ideas, which of course has little relevance for us today, for it has long since been forgotten, buried in the ashes of old heresies, and can be found only in ancient histories. But Paul's words about Jesus are timeless, and they can still equip, prepare, and enable us to confront the errors of our day. That effort to compromise the truth of Jesus Christ, we must see Jesus as the cosmic heavenly Christ, the Lord, the initiator of creation, the very proclamation of the Creator, and as the resurrection and the life. In him, Paul tells us, literally, everything is held together. It is all in him, through him, and for him. He is the mystery physicists seek. He is the cosmic glue, the hand that balances the many divergent forces of our universe that makes all of life possible, the mystery force that brought forth life at all, and more, the force, the reality that makes everything we behold, touch, and believe possible. Jesus is this, the very ruler of life, this world, the universe, the king, and so much more. This rabbi, prophet, soon to be priest, is Messiah, the long sought for Davidic king. He is not just another crucified Jewish hoped for deliverer. He would break the bonds of the grave, appear to his own alive, and then to many. This was initiated in the fullness of time as God's purpose rose to unite all things in heaven and earth. Then on that road outside of Damascus, he appeared as one out of time to Paul himself. And it is in this context of the Savior's revelation to Paul that we must see and appreciate Paul's words here. His personal revelation of a man now raised from the dead, and all that he had since experienced as he established churches everywhere he went. It is from this, Paul's life, that his words can give the lie to all the false teachers and their efforts to remake what such heretics consider a rude, crude, and unsophisticated religion. Such efforts are but the attempts to make Christianity more agreeable, more sensitive to their palates, that there are those who will take every opportunity to compromise the revelation of Jesus Christ, prepare instead some deliberate fiction concerning Jesus, should come as no surprise to us at all. There are always those who will try to dilute, diffuse, and debunk the Christian revelation. They rationalize, declare to us that the world is changing, or that studies have now shown, or that science has revealed, when in fact the world never really changes, mankind remains the same, and the time-honored answers do remain true. So when you hear of a new Jesus, new revelation, a gospel of Judas or Thomas, which supposedly provides new insight, believe me, there is none and won't be. The philosophical nonsense of Paul's day is still present, only in new guises, dressed up in new clothing. But these words of Paul provide the same answer. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And the word image here, eikon, is a unique word, and Paul chose it very carefully. It means that Jesus is the true, honest reflection, the perfect imprint, like a coin fresh from a die stamp. And as well, it means the manifestation, the very image. Thus, Jesus is precisely the likeness of God. The invisible has become visible. He who no one has seen is now, as John tells us, the only begotten one, and he has declared him. He is, in the Greek, prototokos, the firstborn of all creation. But the genitive case here requires more. He is not just the firstborn of all that is to follow. He is the firstborn before all creation. By him the entire universe came into being. He existed before all things. He is God's only begotten, and the reason from the very heart of God for it all. As John will tell us, he became flesh and dwelt among us. The pre-existence of Jesus Christ is then not some theological construct made centuries later, but born within the very first church, born of those who encountered the risen Lord, that in him everything, the visible and unseen world, the angelic forces, and the vastness of countless galaxies was made and is held together. He is the cause, the reason, and without him, there is nothing. Thus, everything exists for the specific design and purpose once held in the wisdom of God and now revealed in Jesus Christ. Here is the reason for it all, God's plan of redemption. It is Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. He is the head, the source, our King, Messiah, and obviously so much more. All because in this one man is the fulfillment of all that is the prophetic expectations of Scripture. In creation, mankind was to be the image of God. The fall corrupted that promise, but in Jesus, his incarnation and obedience unto death is restored that image. That image is now in those born anew, those renewed in their faith who will again bear the image of God they were intended always to carry. Believers are to reflect the very glory of God, as Paul states, for we now see but dimly in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. And John would add, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. However one may have viewed Jesus Christ, as the ancient Judaic Christians, early Gnostics, philosophical deists, or a modern cynical Christian, whatever they envision, constructed in their skepticism and deluded beliefs, it barely scratches the surface of his reality. They do not come close to approaching what Paul has written here of the pre-existing Christ, his preeminence, for in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. However one wants to render Paul's Greek here, the message is clear. Easter morning saw the dawn of a new creation, the hope of humanity, and it revealed that the totality of divine essence and power resides in Jesus the Christ. He is the one all-sufficient mediator. Why do so many, by their actions, seem to say his work is incomplete, insist that their deeds somehow add to his mediation? He is all-sufficient. We need no weak theological sidestepping, diluted, impoverished ideas of what is Christianity, or a multitude of multi-syllable words which in the end only signify unbelief. What is worthy of our praise and will be our eternal song of thanksgiving is that God, in his infinite wondrous power, deemed to create, and in his love, knowing all things, promised and provided redemption for what would inevitably follow, that all might be reconciled to him. It is quite possible, in fact probable, that this very universe, this world with all the mysteries and unique happenstances, the unlikelihood that we are even here, this finely tuned balance is all so that God in Christ Jesus would redeem a people unto himself. God, rich in grace and mercy, has lavished all of this upon us. Christ the King is more and worthy of our thanksgiving. He is all things, the reason and means of it all. For God would have us for his own. That it is hard for some to accept, believe, and experience is sad. For this release of creation from the bondage of decay is really not hard to embrace. For to oppose, ignore, find silly or reject this faith, will find that one day one will be compelled to bow their knee and confess the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, much to one's dismay and sorrow, for he is King and much more. O Lord, may we never fail to express our praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done and continue to do. All to simply have unto yourself a people who endeavor to love you, for indeed you have loved us first. For it is all about your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glorious name forever. Amen and amen.
This Thursday, here in the United States, we will be celebrating our Thanksgiving. And this is why Thomas would have all realize on Christ the King Sunday, that our Lord is far more than King and is a great reason for all of us to always give thanks. He is the reason for everything, which includes, thankfully, that Jesus was not just crucified, but this act was the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. And he now reigns at God's right hand. If this topic intrigues you, then you must request a copy of The Trinity and the Divinity of Christ. This is a much maligned and distorted subject, yet important. So do write to us this week and ask for The Trinity and the Divinity of Christ. It is yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, we appreciate all of you so much, and thank you for being a part of our outreach. For those of you who have yet to become a supporter, we would love to include you in the Wings of Healing family. Giving to this ministry makes you an integral part of a work that brings help and the word to so many here and abroad. Your love offerings would be of great help, and we pray that you will consider becoming a part of this ministry. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. If this last message is at all of interest, do ask for my booklet on the Trinity and Divinity of Christ. These are central topics to the Christian faith and will strengthen your faith in this foundational truth. Now, before we close and Dennis gives you our addresses once more, the choir comes to sing Sharon's own magnificent hymn, On Wings of Healing. And until next week, know that indeed our Lord is King.
You found me a torn and broken soul, and found the pieces that have made me whole. In the midst of all my tortured strife, you were there to change my life. Those stripes to cure my pain, that I may heal, to live again. How you suffered on that cross for me, that in my life there's victory.
Again, we want to express our wishes that all will have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving with family and friends, and that, like us, you will also express your gratitude in all that our God accomplished in the life and ministry of His only begotten Son. Also remember the ministry of the Wings of Healing in your prayers. We do depend on such expressions of support and the gracious gifts from people like you, as this is a ministry that is dedicated to the truth of the gospel. Without sectarian confusion, we ask you to write that we may remain on this station. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week his book, The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. This is one of Dr. Wyatt's primers on the foundation of our faith and is critical for a sound understanding of Christianity. This is a very basic and scriptural study and is meant to aid believers in appreciating this truth. So do write and ask for your copy of The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.